How are you guys? My name is Dennis Santana, and it's an honor just to share with you this morning. It's amazing how I get to do this in front of my church family. So let me make my introductions clear and quick. I'm one of you. My family sits right there, or sometimes over there, or sometimes over there. I have a wife, I have two kids, I have grandparents here. We're here. I'm part of the church family. I've been blessed to be here to serve with you, worship with you, cry with you, laugh with you, dance with you, experience life with you. Amen. I get the opportunity to be one of the in-betweens as we say thank you and praise God for Van and Deb and for the ministry they had for us all the years and how the Lord has blessed them and blessed us through them. We are grateful. The big giant truck in the front is our new pastor's moving truck. Brandon, I believe, arrived sometime last night. His family is here. They're in transition. You will see them soon if everything goes to plan. I believe he's preaching next Sunday. So I'm the in-between guy. All right. So I don't have any of those pastor pager kind of things. Maybe we should, but I'm in between you. So I'm what you got. So today it's pretty easy choosing a topic, trying to figure out how I can encourage my church family on what's next during this time of transition. So we get to talk about transitions. It's pretty straightforward, you know. Let's face it. No one likes their plans interrupted. Some people don't like change. So the other side of that, there are people that look forward to it. Believe it or not, I'm one of those. I love change. I love what's next. I'm the guy, you know, I'm not young. I'm 51 years old. So I didn't come from, I feel like I belong to that generation when they talk about the generation that loves to do life in marathons versus life as sprinting. I'm kind of like in the transition, but God fast forward me. I'm a sprinter. I like change. I like quick. I like adventures. I like things like that. I look forward to it. And I get excited when there are times like that. No, I don't like hitting the fork in the road where you don't know where you're going to go next, where you don't know exactly what God's plan is and you're anxious about it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about transition stuff. You know, you heard from Scripture, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone that asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. First Peter talks about that. But at the same time, what if you really don't know? The Scripture is spoken to so that you're prepared to give an answer to someone who's searching, who's seeking, who you're trying to introduce Christ to. And that's what I want to talk about today. The transition, this is how Webster defines it. He says it's a period or phase in which such a change or shift is happening. Something that links one state, subject, place, etc. to another. It's a connecting part or piece. But no one likes having their plans interrupted. That's not in Webster. But sometimes it's God who's allowing it, or he's actually the one doing the interrupting. Mary and Joseph went through it when they realized that Jesus is coming. Can you imagine the interruption during Christmas? It's a necessary interruption, else we won't be here. But imagine the other interruptions when, when the Israelites realize that they're going to the promised land, and then God says, "Not you," and better yet, "Not you, Moses." Think about that. We were here yesterday celebrating Jane, and I love the stories that were shared. Is it something that we wanted at that time? Absolutely not. We're grieving, we're mourning, we're at the same time we're celebrating her life. But it's a moment of transition for everyone that will miss her and that love her. Van and Deb are being interrupted because now they have to figure out this move thing to South Carolina and live that horse life. That's kind of fun for them. Brandon, our new pastor, Kara, Addie, Bauer are in transition. We, as a church family, are in transition. So what are the thoughts? This is me being you, verbalizing some things that you might be a bit awkward or uncomfortable. Questions like, the new leadership's coming. Would I like that? Would I be comfortable with that? Would I like the new pastor's preaching style? Oh, I'm so accustomed to Van and the wisdom that he brings and the directness and yet the softness and the gentleness and the way he preaches and he speaks to me. He gets me. Would Brandon be able to do that for me? What are my expectations? What are the system changes that's going to occur? I mean, every time we think about these changes, all these questions come up, but we don't necessarily talk about it, right? We don't usually do that. There's always that silent question. Hey, Van's retiring. What are you guys doing? I'm like, what do you mean, what are we doing? This is my church family. I ain't going. But what's going to happen next? I don't know. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Is that right? Is that okay for us as a church family to have that honest conversation as we go through this? I mean, Philippians 1 is the focus passage that God has put in my heart to talk about. It starts in verse 3. It says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Paul is saying this to the church in Philippi because they've been very supportive, more financially and sending their greetings to Paul while he was in prison. Verse 4, it says, whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Here at Vista, and this is not a secret, a huge chunk of our congregation comes from families that serve professionally in ministry. If you don't know that yet, welcome to Vista Church. You know, I used to belong to a tradition where they would bring seminary students to listen to me preach. What pressure. And then I came to Vista and I'm like, oh no, I'm now preaching to missionaries and professional Bible translators. And the level of expectation. So let me just make this straight, guys. Some of you came to me even as of yesterday. Dennis, I'm looking forward to you preaching. Let's lower that expectation, guys. Please, then that way it's not much pressure for me to get there. It's amazing and it's a privilege to be a part of a congregation that understands scripture and understands how to live that out. The question is, how are we doing it as a church family? I'm preaching to us, I'm preaching to myself, I'm preaching to my own family. Verse 9, it says, I pray that your love, and I think this is the key verse, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Verse 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. 2 weeks ago, I hope you caught it, Jeff MacArthur was here, preaching James 2 about the difference between authentic faith versus fake or not real faith, and that it would eventually show up. And that's what Jeff kept on talking about, encouraging us. It will show up. You cannot be a faker. You cannot just fake your way through this faith life. The scripture is encouraging us and making us understand and reminding us over and over again that the message that we have is solid. The message itself that Jesus is the Son of God. He was sent here so that he would show us what it means to live. When he gave his life, it's for you and for me to return to the Lord. It's that amazing grace and mercy and forgiveness, his unconditional love that brought us back to the Father. And that's the way it is. And we hold on to that truth. And that truth cannot be changed. And forever it will be, right? That's what we stand on. You know, in seminary, they teach about the cone of certainty, where the things that are really important are high up, but there's just a few, and then we all stand to that. Knowing this well, that we are a congregation, comes from different church backgrounds, different church traditions, right? So we focus on what's important and what's on the top of that cone of certainty, and we hold on tight to this. But here's the amazing part. Scripture is telling us to keep on learning, to keep on improving, to keep on going for it. Because the understanding is the way we deliver that message is open-handed. The way to deliver that message is the way the Lord is going to call you, how the Holy Spirit is going to equip you, how that person that God calls you to love will show up, and you will serve them and you will love them so that you would earn the right to share that gospel with them. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a task that we have, and we are grateful for Van, for Deb, for Brandon, for Kara, their families, for the staff that's still here that continues and helps us through this time, that faithfully serves you. The leadership of our church that have sacrificially given of themselves. And for each one of us in our church family, Lord God, as we seek, as we learn, as we try to go through this transition really well, knowing that we will trust you, knowing that our hope lies only in you, we pray, Father, that the things that we talk about this morning be glorifying to you. And anything that I say that's not glorifying to you, Lord, I just pray that that goes to the waste. I pray, Lord God, that we be encouraged, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me make this quick. You know how they had a lot of stuff before the service starts? It's so that it would shorten the sermon time. So here we go. Lesson one. Transitions will reveal who we really are. You know, Van said it during the dedication. Sometimes it's during the bad stuff or the difficult part in life that we reveal your true character. But I want to make this clear. Transition does not necessarily bring new traits. It will just reveal something you already have, already something that's within you. But sometimes it's things that we want to keep hidden, right? If you don't like transitions, you're not that kind of person. You don't like change. You're easily frustrated or annoyed. Or maybe old bitterness suddenly begins to creep up, even though you thought you had that hidden well. Sometimes it's just stubbornness, let's be honest. Just the unwillingness to change, unwillingness to adapt. And then there are good traits also. It's not just the negative ones. Their excitement for new relationships, new ways to love and serve, new opportunities. Check this out. To disciple or be discipled. I look at myself in the mirror and I think about when Van told me that I get to share today about a month ago. And I always had that, this is a confession, a false mentality that I'm that young preacher. Like, I'm 51. I'm not that young preacher. And then all these thoughts as I'm preparing for the message happen. I go, Dennis, what are you doing to serve your church, to serve the community? Are you still grabbing to that, oh, teach me something new and I will do it, learn from that? Or are you now to that stage that, hey, pass it on. Be ready to mentor. Be ready to disciple. Be ready to teach someone how to teach a Bible study. Be ready to someone to read their Bible and be transformed by it. Show someone what it means to go to somebody else and actually share the gospel. Not necessarily a scripted way, but rather share life with them. So that I'd be able to share the gospel with them. So I want to make this clear. And one of my favorite things through the series that Van did on I Hope You Heard Me Say is actually what he preached last Sunday, a focus. I remembered the first time I heard this message, so I remembered it well when he preached it last Sunday, where fix your eyes on Christ, focus on Jesus. Jesus is the hero, not me, not you. God is speaking. Are we listening? Open your heart. Being open-hearted is not just between God and us. We also need to be open-hearted to one another. And the big question of how is your heart has to be able to answer that. Commit. I know some of you are taking notes. Guys, this was from last Sunday, so go YouTube it because I'm going to go quick about it. C is to commit. Commit your ways. Don't be anxious. Does not mean avoiding responsibility. To untangle your life. So many weeds may be tangled in, that we may be entangled into. Too many things competing for our hearts. And then strengthen your life. We are spiritually out of shape. Get in shape. I love the doctrine that Vance shared on that last one. He simply said, do stuff. That's like a whole verse right there. Do stuff. You get strengthened when you do stuff. So let me get to lesson number two. Lesson number two is manage your expectations. Transitions would come with expectations, right? As we talked about. You know, I've been blessed that one of the ministries I get to continue is I get to serve those people that are preparing for marriage. So I love the fact that I get to go to a lot of weddings. But my favorite part really is the marriage preparation part, the marriage coaching part. So it's fun to do that. But one of the chapters that we talked about, one of the sessions that we really focus on is managing expectations. So in marriage, is that true? Just like in any kind of transitions, and because I know all of us are in different kind of expectations here, I want you to think about this. When new changes come, there's a level of enchantment, right? That's the first stage. That's the honeymoon stage. That's the stage that the other cannot do any wrong. You're so in love. It's like that puppy love. It's so cute, right? Studies have said that lasts about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. That's what the professional say in relationships, in any kind of relationships. And then there's that stage of the disenchantment stage. The disenchantment stage is now the honeymoon stage is over, and now you're looking at the unmet expectations. Irritations begin to show. Uncomfortable conversations begin to occur. It's when you look at someone and that you're first in love with and there's not a blemish on them and then suddenly there's that giant zit right there. I'm like, yeah, I never noticed that before. Has it been there the whole time? According to studies, couples visit for counseling around that time. It's usually 3, 4, 5 years. It depends. If a child is born into the family during that time period, it kind of changes the dynamics. But that's where it usually is the struggle. It's the moment that you realize you're in bed with someone and you look at them and you go, who is that? And what am I doing here? But then you begin to see the realities of it, and you begin to mature. The maturity stage, guys, is amazing. And I want to tell you this. I think it's better than the enchantment stage. Because you get to look at each other and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I get it. I got it before. I think I knew it, but now I get it now. It's when you become grounded, understanding that it is God that brought you together. Growth, openness, sharing in humility, allowances for vulnerability, sharing of each other's burden. One of the things I get to teach our marriage preparation people, and I think it's important for us to understand this as we go through our transition in leadership here at Vista, is Dana and I have this rule that if someone comes to each other and says, honey, I have something to confess. What happens next is not that person confessing, but rather this. The response should and ought to always be, honey, I know this is difficult, but I want you to know whatever it is, I love you. The pressure's off. You get to confess openly and lovingly because you know it's not going to interrupt that relationship. Yes, there will be challenges. I didn't say that. I didn't say that there will be no challenges about it. But the pressure that something's going to happen so drastically wrong with the relationship, you just got rid of it. Whatever that confession may be. I ate the last piece of cheesesteak. whatever it may be. That's how the Lord calls us, right? While we were still sinners, He died on the cross for you and me, right? while we were still sinners. It's not like he waited for us to change first and then invited us and then showed us grace. It's the grace came first. The forgiveness came first. Folks, transition's hard, and that's the leading to the third lesson. Transitions can be tough, therefore we need to be strong and courageous. This is Moses giving up the baton to Joshua. And when Moses was still alive, Deuteronomy 31, it says, "Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give to them. I will be with you.'" I love that promise. Moses was still there as they're trying to figure out how the transition is going to work. And he gave those words, by the way, after he just found out it's not him that's actually going to cross to the promised land. And he gets the wonderful news of telling the people also. It's a hard message to give. That's a hard sermon to preach. And when after Moses passed away, in Joshua 1, it says it again to now Joshua, "Be strong, courageous, for you are the one who will help these people to possess all the land I swore to the ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." And then it's repeated again, just a couple of verses down, Joshua 1:9. "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So the lesson that I have here for us, for me, for you, for my family is this. Let's be strong and courageous. If you're holding on, if you have that kind of hesitation, if you're still in the what if you're still in that mindset of let me test the new waters, if I like it, if the temperature's just right, is that really being strong and courageous? Let's be strong and courageous. The fourth lesson. Go speak boldly, serve unselfishly, and give generously without fear. Back to our main passage, Philippians 1:14. "And because of my imprisonment," Paul is sharing, "most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." And we don't do this through anxious human effort. We don't do this because we just simply want to fix things. Sometimes transitions allow that into us. It makes me think, "Oh Lord, Van's leaving. What can I fix?" As if there's something wrong. Brandon's here. He's new. Ooh, it's a new start. How can we do church the way I want it? I mean, we're not Burger King, guys. It's not the way you want it. All right? Should we be praying, how does God want it? And how, as a church family, we should be unified onto that and champion that and be there for that? See, the problem is this. If we're the one doing the fixing, then that fixing word again. We're the one doing the fixing. And I grew up in Manila, so that word's not even in my vocabulary. If we're the one doing the fixing, then we become the hero. Big idea, you're not the hero. I'm not the hero. Brandon's not the hero. Vance's not the hero. Jesus is the hero. Is it fun that we get to walk with him, with our hero? Isn't that the amazing part? Isn't that the blessing? Do it because Jesus is our hero. He already won. Because Jesus wants to heal. He wants to forgive. He wants to provide for the needs. He wants to restore. And he wants to redeem. Let me get very, very practical. How am I doing with time? 10. I think I have 2 minutes. Let me do this quick. Van knows this, and a bunch of you know this. House pricing in Orlando is what? Crazy high, right? About a month or so ago, Dana and I received this postcard in our mail. It's handwritten from an investor. And this is what it says on the postcard. And I love, it didn't even ask if we want to sell, but this is what it says. "I will give you 10% over Zillow. Just tell us when you want to move. You don't even have to clean. never offered my house up to sale. I'm like, where am I going to move to? So I have a map here that's from, it's from a City of Orlando study. This was commissioned in 2019. So they took the 2017 numbers and tried to do a forecast to 2045. Each dot that you see, that might be a little small on the screen, each dot is 10 households. All right, that's what it is. It's 10 households. And then I on the next screen, you would see kind of like a zoomed in shot of just our area. If you look at this map, I hope you can be able to pinpoint where you live, else you won't know how to get home. All right, but this is, folks, this is within 5 to 10 minutes drive of our church. Now, so this is a neighborhood church. That's going to be, if they're choosing a church, it's going to be our church. That's what it looks like. You've heard the news, you've heard the studies. Before the pandemic, we're growing at about 1.8% per year in growth. After the pandemic, it's over 2%. They're still trying to figure out the numbers. Our realtors are all nodding their heads right now. Good day to be a realtor right now. I want you guys to think about this for context. Some of you makes this, you're feeling anxious about this, feeling nervous, trying to figure out what the new economy would be like and how bad the traffic would be, you know, that kind of scenario. But I want you guys to think about this for a second. Let me present to you as a church family member. That's the growth of our community. The mission field is coming to us. Of the new growth, study says that about half of them are moving not from another state, but actually from another country. How are we poised as a church family? I'm going to make this clear. Not to convert them to our ways, but to love them to Christ so that they would go to know Christ and that Christ would transform them. Amen? We just took a little trip to New England. My sister got married in New Jersey, and we took the opportunity to drive all the way to Boston. So we stopped at Plymouth, Cape Cod area, and all that stuff, and got to enjoy that. And one of the places that I really get to enjoy there is there in Plymouth, they have kind of like a reenactment version, kind of like Jamestown, where they have an English town or an English village where there are actors that they get to talk about. You know, what it's like, and there are historians that actually are part of their staff, and I went to that center hall, which is always, you know, center of government and church, right? There's that main building where they meet, and it just happened that the historian was talking about, because someone asked, well, what kind of preaching were they doing during that time? And he goes, seriously, they're still upset, they're still, because they're leaving from the old England, and they're coming here, and then they're trying to figure out why the Puritans can just be Puritans, and why so just different styles and different cultures and within Christianity. And the preacher said, look around you. Who's here? And the responses they're getting is, are we going to convert the Native Americans to our ways? And the preacher said, you know, that's up to God. But I know this. And we now live with them, so befriend them. And I thought to myself, what a profound message. Befriend them. Befriend them. So church, we're in a new era, and aren't you excited? I look forward to it. I'm going to end with this quote by just one slide, Francis Chan, where he says, we were meant to live for much greater purpose than personal comfort. Christianity is about taking broken people, transforming them, and then using those transformed people to transform the world. It's always been this way from the moment when the Holy Spirit came upon the early church in Acts chapter 2. Folks, what I spoke about today is nothing new. If you walk our hallways, our value statements are there. Do that. Realize again, just like me, who are we as a church? What are we supposed to do? Where is God leading us? And let's do it together. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are excited for what's next. Yes, we confess that there is anxiety, and we want you, Lord, to please take that away. Allow us to come to you, the God that of peace, to bring us that understanding that would not just comfort us, but would transform us. Help us know, Lord, that as we deliver this solid message of the gospel, that we need to be open-handed in the way we deliver it, in the way we welcome change, in the way we welcome, Lord God, the new mission field that you call us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.